Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome. Excuse me. And welcome to Ambassador for Christ. Tell the world about Jesus. Your host this evening, Deacon Wes Armstrong. Welcome, and thank you for joining. It's truly a blessing to be able to share this ministry with the next man in line, woman, boy, and girl, to pass along the truth, and not what's been, just been shoved to us that we keep with us for years, but the real truth about our Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer, and our Judge, God's only begotten Son, Jesus the Christ, the Anointed One. Okay? All right. I have a disclaimer here. Shall we? Excuse me. The views and opinions expressed on the Crown Talk and Drum Radio Network are solely those of the host, guest, and caller. These views and opinions do not represent those of the Crown Talk and Drum Radio Network, its management, or other hosts or advertisers. And again, to God be the glory. I just thank him for the opportunity to be able to come before you with a word and to share your comments about the word. And as God's people, we need to come together. No matter where we are, we have social media, we have phones, we have telecommunication satellites in space we should not be cut off. Just because we can't see them doesn't mean we cannot communicate with them. Okay? Yeah. I'll read the scripture here. let's see. Yeah, the scripture is going to be Genesis 2 and 18. That'll be one of the base scriptures, Genesis 2 and 18. Okay, now, and the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto him. Praise God. Well, this is not necessarily about the woman, but it's about people being alone. We don't have to be alone. God sees when you are alone and you need someone in your life, not necessarily for a relationship, a marriage or sexual relationship hang out with, but he sees that we need somebody. And it's for us to get to that point to where we are able to see that it's him that we need. Not necessarily another human being, but we need him. And he'll direct our paths in securing whatever we do need. You know, male friends or females, and possibly get married or not. But we need someone. No man is an island. Okay? Topic I put out is that, am I my brother's keeper? I am my brother's keeper. Okay? All right. Going to for a introduction here. Good evening. Good evening, Miss Margaret.
Good evening, darling.
How are you?
I'm fabulous. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, considering. Yeah, pretty good considering. But I try not to worry about it because I have no control over anything. I'll put it in God's hands and let him do what needs to be done.
Yes. Okay, that's a big thing.
It is. And a lot of, well, the majority of the times, everything that he does for us is favorable. It's not for our harm or hurt, but it's favorable, and it's to glorify him, you know?
Yes, I agree with you on that one.
Okie dokie, right. We got Sis on the line. Good evening, Sis. Introduction. Good evening, Sis. You have a word for us?
Good evening, but I'm just listening.
All right. Okay. What we do, we have a short prayer. Then we'll get into let's keep us, and who is my brother? Why am I my key brother? Okay. Right. And I pray for these. I'm going to pray for the children of God. I'm going to pray for our family, loved ones, neighbors on either side. Pray for the government, governments of this world. We pray for the bereaved, those that are going through, those that don't know that they have to go through. But there comes a time when we have to go through. We can't bypass and say, well, I don't want to do this today. No, if we don't go through, that means we don't have life. That means we have given up on life and given up in life. And we are useless. Might as well say useless. pray for the military of this country, those who have served this country for whatever purpose it was. We'll pray for this weather. Having issues with the weather, God knows. We usually look at it to where certain months of the year are warm, no problem, and certain months of the year are cold. And in between, it fluctuates. But this is toward the end of May, and it's usually warm, nonstop. But to God be the glory, we look to him to do his thing because there is no such thing as Mother Nature. No. God, he created this world for his glory, you know. And it was for his glory and for us to live in, to dwell in this place. Let's pray for our pastors, our evangelists, elders, preachers, teachers, which are needed, and it's not to tell the people about what good stuff they can get in life or, you know, what there is that's not a part of Scripture. But we need to go to God and ask God first, and God, he'll lead and guide us. He will lead and guide us. It's not about us wanting it today and God waiting until 3 years down the road. No, we are to be patient with God, because he knows what we need, what we need, and how to supply it for us. Okay? All right. I tell you, Miss Margaret, would you care to lead the prayer?
Yes, I would be happy to.
Okay.
Most honorable, lovable, cherished God, Lord, I come to you tonight thanking you for our space to be together to worship you and give good thoughts on your word and your feelings and your ways. So I thank you for us gathered together. Thank you because you've been so good to each and every one of us. We made it through this day, Lord. Thank you so far. So good, Lord. So we thank you because you've been so merciful. So thank you because you've been so loving. You're so kind, so giving. So tender, so sweet. Lord, thank you for everything that you are and everything that you've done. Lord, thank you because each and every one of these phone, Lord, they have a need for you to touch. So touch them, Lord. Help them get through whatever they need to get through. Lord, I love you.
Yes.
I praise you. I lift you high, because if it was not for you, I could not have made it these 53 years. Thank you, Lord. I love you. I adore you. I worship you. I magnify you. I glorify your holy, righteous, wonderful name. Lord, thank you. Thank you again, because you've been so good. Thank you, because there is nothing in this world can compare to you. All right, I know we're close to you, Lord. Thank you for everything. Lord, I thank you.
Yes,
in the mighty, wonderful name of my Savior Jesus. Lord, thank you.
Yes,
amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
And amen. Thank you. Thank you so much, Miss Margaret. Okay.
Honey, you are welcome.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I have one more scripture I'm going to put out here, and then I got a little, I got me a printout over here. It's from Got Questions, the website Got Questions. And they seem to put it out there where we can rightly understand it, and they do give scriptures as a basis. Okay? But this scripture here is Genesis 4 and 9. Genesis 4 and 9. And this is about Cain and Abel. Okay? All right. I'll tell you what. Let me let's go up to 2. Verse 2. All right, I'll start at verse 2. Cain and Abel, Genesis 4 and verse 2. Let me just go on and start with one. Genesis 4 and 1. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his son, brother, Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Now, real quick, I'm going to say this real quick, then I'll move on. By being a tiller of the ground. Now, the ground was cursed. I believe the ground was cursed because of disobedience of Adam, and the ground wasn't going to bring forth its strength, you know, thorns and thistles, briars, a little bit of everything the ground was going to bring forth. It was not going to be as fruitful as it would have been from the Garden of Eden if Adam would not have sinned. Okay? Now, okay. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. He had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, so he was upset. You know, he had attitude. And his countenance fell, his well-being and his peace, it fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? Getting besides yourself. And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. Now, you have to remember that there was sin already from the creature getting into the snake. And Adam and Eve, they were cast out of the garden. I believe it's the most perfect place for man to be. But no more. Okay. Okay, the Lord says, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. In other words, sin will rule over you if you step out of bounds. In other words, if you step away from the Lord, sin is right there, you know, waiting on us to put God on the back burner. Okay, now, all right. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. Verse 9. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, "What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth." And Cain said unto the Lord, "My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out of this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid. And I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that everyone that finds me shall slay me." And the Lord said unto him, "Therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold." And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. Okay, now, what has just happened here is that Cain, he was upset with his brother because I'm pretty sure that he sees that his brother's doing well, you know, with his flock. And the ground is not yielding forth as it should because of sin and the curse. And he is upset because his brother, it seems as though his brother is doing better than him. And you know, it happens these days also. And it doesn't necessarily have to be your brother. It could be anybody, your neighbor, your coworker. It could be anybody. You know, they look at you, you're dressed halfway decent, you're smiling. People get upset because it's not them, you know. But we, as children of God, we should be led by the Spirit of God in order to help build up the next person in line. We don't have to know what they're going through, you know, a friendly gesture, a wave, or just to speak with someone with a smile on our face. It could be a door-opening experience. It could be the way that God wants us to relate to this people from the beginning. This could start a conversation. And then we could pass along the good news to these people that Jesus Christ, he came into the world. He came into the world and died for the world so that we wouldn't have to die in our sin. To do is to confess. Confess their sin and ask for forgiveness and truly believe that God is God. And God, he did this for us. His love was so great for us that he sent his only begotten son. Now, I don't know about me sending my only son out to die for the whole world. I don't know, but this is just the love that God had for the world. And he created the world and didn't want to see anyone lost. So he had the plan of sending his son, preparing a body for his son to come to earth, to lead man out of sin and show him what he can do to separate himself from sin and have opportunity to be reconciled back to God. Okay? All right? So now, let me see. Okay. All right. Let me ask, are there any questions so far? Any questions from anybody so far?
Not a question, but a statement.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. You just touched upon what message I had yesterday, because it is clearly that we have to think about the things that we do, and it's clear that we have to be what we have to be in the Lord, because the Lord is so grateful. He's so merciful. He's so true. He's so honest. He's so tender. He's so sweet. He's so miraculous. I mean, everything he is, Lord have mercy, he is everything to me. And so my premise was to focus on the reason why he did what he did. He stayed on the cross. He looked at time before then, and then he looked at that time. And then he came back and looked all the way to here. He looked here and beyond. He said, "I'll stay here." He could have left. He could have changed his mind, but he did not change his mind. So he decided, he said, "I'm going to stay right here because these people need me." And he said, these are my brothers and sisters. They need me.
Yeah.
So I'm going to stay right here. I'm going to endure. And so he endured all the humiliation. He endured the pain, the suffering, the failure, the cheating. He endured all of that. The beating.
Yes.
He endured all of that just because he loved so deep. His love was so deep, and it is still so deep. And it's unmeasurable. You cannot measure his love.
Nope. No, we can't. No, we cannot. His love is great. He has a great love because we are his creation. He created us in his likeness. And you know, man messed up. He destroyed everything but 8 souls and some animals for mankind to have a new start. But hey, sin was still there. And the world got like this because sin was still there. You know, sin had not been destroyed by that time, but he gave man another opportunity to do the right thing. So by the world being destroyed by water, that was the first time. And he said, the earth again would not be destroyed by water. I hang my bow, his rainbow, in the sky. And therefore, we need to be preparing ourselves, helping our brother out with love, you know, but, you know, helping our brother out to the point to where we help him out, but then it's not for us to go back and say, well, man, he needs him a job. You know, I can't be taking care of him all the time. But what we need to do, we need to pray to God, ask God, how do we help them with their need? That's the first thing, you know. We see they need things, but we need to pray to God, ask God, how can we help them in their need? And as God reveals to us how to help them in their need, we help them and we keep it moving. And if they're not working or if they seem that they want to just keep using and abusing us financially, you know, we just have to tell them. You know, a lot of people say, man, can I borrow $10 from you? You know, and we give them $10. Okay, sure. No. We give them the $10, you know, and they come back later. Man, you know, I owe you that $10, but I need something. I really need a few extra dollars. Well, we need to ask God, what do we do in a situation like that? Our pastor told us one time, he said, this guy was drinking, and he always come by and ask pastor for a dollar. He said, can you give me a dollar? Or you got a dollar, something like that. And pastor would give him a dollar. He did that quite a few times, and then he came by one time, and I believe pastor said, I believe that the pastor prayed to God, and God showed him what to do, and he put it into the other guy, not to just ask for a dollar, but to borrow a dollar. And he came up, he said, can I borrow a dollar? You know, and pastor, okay, sure. I'll let you borrow a dollar. And then come back after that, you know, this was a habit for this guy. He came back after that, and he said, you got a dollar, or can I borrow another dollar? And the pastor said, no, you need to pay me that which you have borrowed first, and then I can give you or help you out. Well, what are you asking for? And see, that stopped that, but it was him asking God for understanding and how to deal with this person. You know, and it's not for us to keep giving and keep giving and keep giving. You know, we pray to God, we stop them in their tracks and let them know what God says. You know, because we find a lot of people today, they don't want to work. They want their cake and eat it too. They want money. They don't want to work. So instead of getting an attitude with these people or talking behind their back, like, you know, I even do that, we just pray to God and ask God, God, how do I deal with this situation? You know, I got the money. But this person, you know, a lot of times we know they're getting high. We don't see them, but we know they're getting high or drinking or something. And we ask God, how do I deal with this? Help me deal with this situation, you know. And God, he'll give it to us. He'll give us a conversation of the word, you know. We start speaking on love, or we start speaking about Jesus Christ. He came, and the reason why he came to the world, you know, for even some of our own experiences, you know, I used to be out in the world doing this and doing that, you know, but one day I just couldn't take no more, and I asked God for help, and God saved me. He saved my soul. You know, we have to ask God. We can't just take it on ourselves, because if we do and go by our own understanding, eventually it's going to come back to us. It's going, now, what do I do now? I don't know what to do. And it'd be almost too late to run to God, to ask God then. You know, we have opportunities before to ask God, what do I do in this situation? And it's not necessarily a life and death situation. It's just that we need to know the truth, how to work the truth for the world, and how to live the truth for ourselves, you know, and to grow in God's word. And once we start doing that, hey, you know, all kind of doors will open up for us. Okay? All right. No comments from sis? You don't got a comment? Sis, you don't have a comment? Okay. All right.
All right. I'm going to read this.
I'm going to read this. It's from Got Questions. I use this website a lot. Your questions, biblical answers. All right. Now, this wasn't my writing or anything. I did a little research and I came up with this. All right, the question was, am I my brother's keeper? Okay, now this, they put it down as an answer, but it's commenting on the question. Okay, the phrase, my brother's keeper, occurs in the context of the story of Cain and Abel in Genesis 4, 1 to 9. And the Lord God had expelled Adam and Eve, their parents, from the Garden of Eden for their disobedience. They disobeyed God's word. Adam was told not to eat of the fruit. There was not to eat of the tree in the midst of the garden. Okay, unless if so, he would die. Okay, now Cain killed his brother Abel out of jealousy that God has found Abel's sacrifice acceptable, but he rejected Cain's. And you know. These are just my words. And it seems as though God didn't accept Cain's because maybe Cain just went out there and threw some stuff together, you know. Well, the ground is not, it's not giving me her strength, so this is all I can find out here. And just, you know, just put it there and say, well, Lord, you have to accept this because this is all that the ground gave me. But see, it calls for work. We have to put some work in order to not a reward, but we have to put work in order to receive something worthwhile out of whatever it is, a job, you know, family, whatever, you know, living in a neighborhood around people. We have to put God in the equation, and it's good to put him in the equation from the beginning. Okay, now, after the murder, the Lord, knowing full well what had happened, asked Cain where Abel was. Now, Cain's response was, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? Now, there is a grain of truth in this brazen lie. Now, we all know, how you going to kill somebody and don't know where they're at? Common sense, you know, real simple. And he more or less didn't think God knew. He more or less thought that God didn't know what happened. You know, he buried him, probably buried him in the ground. You know what I'm saying? Hit him somewhere. Despite the silly response, Cain offers to the God who created him. While no one is the absolute keeper of others, and that we are not responsible for everyone's safety when we're not present, every man is his brother's keeper, and that we are not to commit violent acts against them or allow others to do so if we can prevent it. This sort of keeping is something God rightfully demands of everyone on the grounds of both justice and love. Cain's reply indicates a total lack of any kind of feeling for another human being, not to mention the absence of brotherly love and the overriding precedence of the kind of selfishness which kills affection and gives rise to hatred. You know, if you don't like somebody,
or you want, it's all about you, you know. You want your cake and eat it too, and however you can get it, you know, the next person in line don't matter, you know. But people just don't understand. You are not an island. You are not alone. You cannot live alone. You cannot sustain yourself alone. You have to have somebody, a family, or used to have some type of family, friends, neighbors, or something. We just can't go through life thinking, oh, I got it like that. I don't need nobody. Oh, no, it doesn't work like that. No. Everybody needs somebody, some kind of way or other. Okay? Now, let me go on and finish this up real quick. It's not that long, that much more. So, now this word, I don't use the word Christians for myself, because that was a derogatory description of those in Antioch. God never called us Christians. That was men put that out there, and it was supposed to be some type of curse against the people that had received the Holy Ghost. So we're going to do it. I'm going to do it like this. So are children of God to be the keepers of other children of God? Yes, in two ways. First, we are not to commit acts of violence against one another, you know? And here in this day and age, people are just willfully killing other people. They don't know them. They go get a weapon, and they kill people. They kill themselves. And then some, they don't kill themselves. The cops kill them. And then others are taken into custody. There is no way that you can stop violence with a gun by coming up with a law that says you have to fill out paperwork. No, common sense, y'all. We go to the root of the problem. The root of the problem is the guns, period. Period. We're not blind. We know what's going on, but the overriding authority, the government, the gun companies, you know, and this so-called, what is it, amendment, what is it, I can't even think of it now. The so-called rights, Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights, something like that, you know. But we, as a people of color, we were not included in that from the beginning, you know. But we, our people have been caught up right now, and it's like following a leader, you know. My people's not doing that. Before you do it, it catches up with everybody and the devil. It is all the work of the devil and his little demons. Gets into people's minds, twists people's minds up that people will do anything. Real quick, I worked in a jail in New Jersey, and this real young guy. Now, I worked in a jail where they did psychiatric help for people, you know. And then also, people commit a crime, they would go through there before they go to court to see if they were sane or insane, you know, however they call it. And he, young guy, I think he was about 19, and I asked him, I said, yo, bro, what you doing in here, man? What happened to you? And he said, they say I killed somebody. And you know, my mind's like, whoa, young as you are, they say you killed somebody. Don't you know if you killed somebody? He said he didn't realize he killed no one until after the murder. And I kind of told him, I said, well, hey, that must have been the devil on you, bro. What were you doing? Was you drinking, doing drugs or what? He said he just don't remember, you know. And I realized from then that he can get control of you. He can put ideas in your head you think is right, and it's all wrong, twisted, and you're going for a ride. And if you're still living after that ride's over with, there are three places that they used to tell me you will wind up at. In jail, in a mental institution, or dead, you know. But we... I wasn't always a child of God, but, you know, I asked God to forgive me, and I favor this side of life than the world, you know. Even though there's chaos around us 24/7, I don't have to involve myself with that. Just pray for others, pray for myself, safety. God's will is going to be done no matter what I think or what I try to do, you know. But anyway, back to the story here. All right, let's see. Let me start again. So are children of God to be the keepers of other children of God? Yes, in two ways. First, we are not to commit acts of violence against one another. This includes violence of the tongue in the form of gossip, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, factions, slander, disorder. 2 Corinthians 12:20, okay, real quick. 2 Corinthians 12:20, let me get that. Oh, my phone just changed colors. Okay, 2 Corinthians 12:20, I believe that's what I just mentioned. Okay, all right, here we go. For I fear lest when I come, I shall not find you such as I would, and that I shall be found unto you such as ye would not. Lest there be debates, envyings, wraths, strifes, backbitings, whisperings, swellings, tumults. And lest when I come again, my God will humble me among you, and that I shall bewail many which have sinned already and have not repented of the uncleanness and fornication and lasciviousness which they have committed. Now, this is, I believe that's Paul. I believe that's Paul talking. Yeah. He's talking to these people, particular people, and he's trying to let them know that the stuff that you're doing is not right, you know. And you can put a title on yourself, and if it ain't right, it just ain't right. Just like they say about a pig, you can clean a pig up, put perfume on him, you know, dress him up, and you open that door and put him outside, and he gonna search for a mud puddle or whatever, and so he can wallow in it. That is his nature. And see, with man has a nature also. You know, man has a nature also, and Adamic nature, Adamic or Adamic nature from Adam. That's the nature of disobedience. Plus, there are other sins that people commit in their life as they get older. You know, but if we get rid of that sin from Adam, it is the sin of disobedience. If we get rid of that, we can learn how to grow and love each other and look out for people and help people out, you know. And it's not always about reaching in your pocket, giving somebody some money. You know, just to have a conversation sometimes, it's a big help with people. It's a big help. Now, I got a job. I work with this client. He's got issues. And it seems as though his issues are getting worse. No matter what I try to do for him or where we go or whatever. And see, a lot of things start at home. A lot of things start at home. So we don't have to be sick and ill or disabled. It's just issues in the house that we take with us when we leave the house. And if there's issues out there in the world, we'll bring those back to the house, and things get kind of rough. You know, they get kind of rough. Okay, let me go on and finish. Okay. Secondly, we are to exhibit brotherly love towards our brothers and sisters in Christ with a tender heart and a humble mind. 1 Peter 3:8. Real quickly. 1 Peter 3:8. Let me find that real quick. 1 Peter. Be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called,
that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Praise God.
All right. Again, that was 1 Peter 3 and 8. In this way, we keep those for whom Christ gave his life. We have to look out for the next man because we are going to need the next man ourselves. And we can't help nobody else. We're not going to be able to find no one that's going to want to help us. Because most people, they have a chip on their shoulder. They have a little attitude. Something ain't going right for them in their life. They can't get what they call themselves truly wanting to have in life, you know. They don't like the way other people are living. They don't like the way the other people have possessions and whatever, you know. It's just jealousy, just plain jealousy. People just don't like people because they don't like people. You don't necessarily have to do nothing wrong. They just don't like people because their mind is warped, you know. And that could have been from their upbringing, you know, and it could be their own attitude, you know. They just don't want to get close to nobody, all right? Okay. One of the golden chapters of the Bible is 1 Corinthians 13. In this magnificent portion of the scriptures, we're reminded that love is even greater than faith and hope. Chapter 13 comes on the heels of Paul's explanation of how the body of Christ, the human body, and is made up of many members, all of whom are important to the functioning and well-being of the body. We are continually encouraged throughout the New Testament to love one another. Hebrews 13 and 1, Romans 12 and 10, 1 Thessalonians 4 and 9. Sometimes love must correct, admonish, or even reprove. However, correction is always to be done in the spirit of love with the goal of conciliation. In other words, coming back together, you know, coming back together. Two friends that were close, they separated and fell apart, and reconciliation is coming back together, you know, coming back together. All right. Let me read one of those real quick. Let me read one of those real quick. We'll do 13. Hebrews 13 and 1 real quick. Hebrews 13 and 1. Okay. Then I ask the question again. Does anyone have any comments? Hebrews 13 and 1. Hebrews 13 and 1. Okay. Now, Hebrews 13 and 1, let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. For thereby some have entertained angels unawares. And it's not that we entertain or we do for people that we know. There are going to be times when we need to look out for people we don't know. Always being careful not to approach anyone or to give everyone an opportunity to enter into your home, but to let people know, you know, in a godly manner. And then also, and always asking God, Lord, what can I do to help these people? You know, and that way, if it doesn't go the way we think it should go, it falls back on God, and we're released from any obligation, you know. But we need to show that love no matter what, no matter what. Sometimes people, they look at you all crazy, you know what I'm saying, you'd be kind of scared to say anything to them. But, you know, I just, under my breath, I just say, Lord, help me to pray for them, you know, or is there a need that they have? Can I help them with the need?
And it's not that I necessarily stop and ask him, can I help you? No. The Spirit of the Lord, he's the one that moves us to do things. Not for us to step on out there, as we call, on faith, you know, and we get knocked down or killed because, you know, we didn't do it the right way. We did it our way. And there's always some negative results when we do it in our way, you know. Okay. All right. I'm asking again, any comments? Anyone have any comments? We got about 10 minutes, okay? We got about 10 minutes.
Can you repeat 1 Thessalonians, what chapter and verse?
1 Thessalonians? 1 Thessalonians? Well, the one I read was Hebrews 13 and 1. Now, you want the list? You want the list real quick?
Yeah, you said Romans 12 and 10 and 1 Thessalonians, and I couldn't get the chapter or verse.
Okay, 1 Thessalonians 4 and 9.
Okay, thank you.
No problem, I understand. It's a good thing to do. It's a good thing to do. Let me read it just real quick, 1 Thessalonians 4 and 9. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you. Now, these are people at Thessalonica. For ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed, ye do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. In other words, the country that they live in. Okay? And it says, but we beseech you, in other words, we're begging you, brethren, that you increase more and more, and that ye study to be quiet and to do your own business and to try and to work with your own hands as we command you, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. So in other words, that those that they're talking about toward them that are without, those are the ones that are not on the same level as we are. They haven't come to the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you know, without. In other words, without means you don't have what we have, or you're on the outside. You're on the outside, you know. But did you get all those scriptures?
Yes, sir, I did. Thank you.
Okay. Now, I got one last one there. Matthew 18 and 15. Matthew 18 and 15. That's the last one. Matthew 18 and 15. Got it?
Got it. Thank you.
All right. Okay. I'm going to read part of that. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. Now, this is just for the children of God. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. And in other words, they're not in the church. They're no part of the church. Okay? And lastly, it says, verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Praise God. Okay? Now, any more comments? The topic for anyone that didn't realize the topic was, am I my brother's keeper? And we definitely are. And it doesn't have to be related to you. And it says, So we as children of God, we are to be our brother's keeper. And as Paul wrote in Romans 14 and 19, Romans, therefore let us consider the things which make for peace, and the things by which one may edify another. In other words, to build up another. That's what we were supposed to edify each other. Build up the next man. Keep his spirits lively. Keep him in prayer. If he's in need, we see to his needs. God will supply our every need, even if we're helping somebody else. He'll make a way for all that to happen. Okay?
Anyone?
All the mics are open. Anyone want to talk? Okay. I am my brother's keeper. Whether he likes it or not, we're just doing the will of the Father in heaven. It's like an opposite from what we used to do in the world. You know, people we didn't care for in the world. And sometimes we did what we could to let them people know we didn't care for them or they didn't like us. And it wasn't no love lost, not out in the world. You know, but now we have the understanding of God's word because God is love. We should be love, you know, and the word tells us love our enemies. You know, and I don't think it's to where we all up in their face offering them stuff to, you know, try to get on their good side. No, we just pray for people and keep it moving. And if God, if there's a need for us to approach anybody, God, he will let us know. He's the one. You know, sometimes we can't just jump out there and say something. Oh, man, I'm sorry about your loss or something. You know, it may be worth saying for the situation, but sometimes people just don't want to hear nobody saying nothing, you know, and they take it to heart, they get angry, they get upset, and then boom, look what started, you know. A couple of words has exploded the entire situation out of hand when it was something trying to be done in love, but we ask God for I'm learning, you know, that. Sometimes I'll say the wrong thing. I just keep my mouth shut and ask God to help me and lead me what to say. You know, I keep my mouth shut, even though I know the right thing to say. What I think the right thing to say is, it might not be right for that particular situation or that particular time, you know. So I'm learning, y'all. It's the only way to learn is by asking. If I don't know, I just don't know, you know. All right.
Last time, any kind of anyone. Okay?
All righty.
All right, y'all. Let me think. I have one more thing with my list.
One. I'm going to read this. 2 Peter 1. 3 to 7. Okay? 2 Peter 1. Read. All right. Oh, here we go. 2 Peter. 2 Peter 1, 3 to 7. Okay? 2 Peter 1 to 7. Okay. 2 Peter 1, 3 to 7. Okay. According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly in the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All right? Okay. I'm going to ask one more time. Any comments? No comments? I think I got one more thing. Okay. Yep, one more thing. And let's see. Where's that at? Okay. Where am I? Let's see. All right, we're going to do this real quick. I said this earlier. Okay. 1 Corinthians 13:13. Okay. 1 Corinthians 13:13. Last but not least, guys. All right. And now, abide faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity, which is love. And God is love. And we were made in the image of God and in his likeness. And we are to love no matter what. No matter what, we are to love. And it covers a multitude of sins. Not for us, but for the next man in the line. So we are our brothers, sisters, keepers. To God be the glory. We look after each other, whatever each other needs, for us to build each other up. Not to put one down, but to reach out that right hand fellowship to whom needs a helping hand. To God be the glory. We're going to have prayer, and then we're going to shut it down. Okay? All right. Most High God in heaven and in earth and underneath the earth, we truly thank you, God, for allowing us this time. Thank you for the word, Father God. We thank you for being able to share in the word with one another. Excuse me. Give you the honor, Father God, because if it had not been for you, we would not have the time that we have. We give you the praise by your holy name, and we ask, Father God, to help us to love our neighbor as ourselves and to be able to show love to our neighbor, not because of what they have for us or what they have, but because it should be in our hearts, Father God, as children of God. You are love, and we should be love also, Father God. We give you the praise. Bless those that are listening. Protect them, Father God. Give them what they need. Help us, Father God. Help us to rise, Father God, to build each of us. We, one does not fall, Father God, but as a group, Father God, there in numbers. We love you, Lord, and we honor you this night. We say thank you. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. Shalom, everyone. Shalom.
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 Shalom. Shalom.